I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer, man, and then we're going to dive right into Galatians 4 here. If you'd bow your heads with me, God, thank you so much. God, I'm just overwhelmed sometimes by your grace, God, your mercy. God, I want to thank you for the worship experience this morning. God, to be able to sit here humbly with our heads down and honestly say that we are children of the Most High God. We get to sit, God, in your presence. God, to feel your love, and we did nothing to deserve that. God, I pray that as we go through this challenging message today, that you would open our hearts, God, that you would allow us to see what aspect of our life, God, needs to hear this message, God, that you would allow us to be humble, to put our pride aside, God, to hear this message and ask ourselves, where are we at, God? Please touch me in those areas and help me to grow closer to you. God, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity to hear your word today. God, I pray that you would speak through me, God, that these would not be my words, that this would not be my message, God, but it would be what you need to speak for someone in this room this morning. God, we just love you so much, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. How did I end up over here? Man, I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning. We are in our freedom series, and I am teaching and preaching on Galatians chapter 4 today. I messaged Pastor Joe this week, and I was like, is there any chance that I can do a part 2 next week, right? Like, I'm reading through this, and I'm like, Paul is just going in Galatians, and he's speaking some truth, and I'm like trying to break everything down, and I'm like, God, there is too much for this one message today. But I was able to kind of centralize into one idea, and for the past couple of weeks, Pastor Joe has preached one-point messages. Thanks a lot. He got you guys all excited, so I thought it would be okay today. I also brought a one-point message, and I know you guys who have heard me speak before, you're like, yeah, right. I brought a one-point message. I just have 50 sub-points. Is that okay? Just sub-points. They're not real points. They're just under the main message, okay? So I want to share that main point with you today. I want to put this in your mind, and then I want to share some background on where we're coming into Galatians 4 here, and then we'll wrap back to the main point. So the main point today is real freedom is found in accepting God's love. Real freedom is found in accepting God's love. We're going to dive into this passage, and as we begin to read, you're going to be kind of curious, I think, how the message ties into this main point here. And many of us probably are sitting here today, and you're like, well, I've accepted God's love. That's easy. It's easy, right? And some of you are getting excited, like, yes, I love the grace and love messages. There will be some truth, too, so don't get too excited. But I want to dive in here, and Paul, where we're at this point, Paul had lived with the Galatians for a little while. He planted churches. Paul introduced the Galatians to the gospel message, right? Many of the Galatians came to know who Jesus was and a real relationship with Jesus and the real story of grace and truth and love through the gospel through Paul. Now Paul is not with the Galatians here, and he's writing a letter. And Galatians is a letter that Paul put together, and he sent it to the Galatians because Paul is actually finding himself in distress. Paul is a little bothered. I think it's important that we understand the tone of Galatians 4 here as we begin to read. Because Paul walked alongside these Galatians in passion and truth and excitement. And these Galatians came to know Jesus through Paul. They came to know the power of Jesus through Paul. They were passionate and excited about the gospel. And now Paul is away from them and he's hearing these stories and he's hearing that the Galatians are starting to fade into more of a legalism approach, are starting to fade into a place where their relationship with Christ is becoming more rules and regulations than it is about faith and actual relationship with Jesus. That's a lot. And I think this message is so true for us today. And to be honest with you, as I was reading this, I changed the book. You're not really supposed to do this, so forgive me, God. I changed the name of this book to New Freedom. Right? I changed the name of Galatians to New Freedom because I think it's easy to detach ourselves from the gospel sometimes because it's not directed to us. So I changed the name of Galatians to New Freedom. So as I read this, I want us to read through this as Paul is speaking to New Freedom Church this morning, as Paul is speaking to you where you sit in your chair this morning. Maybe you find yourself in a place in your relationship with God where you were passionate in the beginning. You were on fire. You could feel his presence. You were in his word. You couldn't wait to pray and spend time with him. But now you're starting to be more like these Galatians in this time that Paul's writing to, where you find yourself checking the box that you went to church. I went to church. I read my Bible. I did my 10-minute prayer time. Me and God are good. And I started to ask myself, when did it become about checking boxes? When in my relationship with Jesus did it become about what I could do to obtain to God's standards, to earn God's love? I was talking to someone this morning and we were talking about how prideful of an approach that is to the gospel. To even think that I could do enough to obtain God's love. But you know what's amazing this morning is that Jesus died on the cross for you so that you could accept his love and grace freely and become a child of the Most High God. You have that freedom this morning. Yeah, you can clap. You guys have heard me speak before. I love a responsive crowd because if you're not getting it, I'm not doing my job. Right? I need us to get this morning. I was so convicted as I read these passages because I felt like Paul was in my face screaming at me. I'm like, man, chill out. When I preach and I read through God's word, it usually convicts me more than I think it does you guys. I'm just gonna be honest. All that to say, let's dive into the passage. So we're gonna pick up in chapter 4 here. If you have your Bibles with you, good job. In youth, we used to give out prizes for when people would bring their Bibles, you know? I think we should pick that back up in the adult service, right? Like on your way out, if you show your Bible to the people outside, you'll get a piece of candy. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? You know what I'm saying? I think we should pick it back up in main service. All right, so we're gonna dive in to chapter 4 here, and Paul is speaking to the Galatians. Remember, his tone in this time is he's kind of broken. He's broken for the Galatians. They're losing their way. In Christ, it's becoming about checking boxes legalism rather than the relationship that they first had with Jesus. Paul says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father." So Paul's giving this imagery. He's kind of giving them something to feed off of here. He's like, look, even it's like a rich child in a rich household where there's an inheritance, right? There's an inheritance set forth for that child. His father has riches and promises stored up for him. But as he's a child, he actually doesn't have access to that inheritance yet, right? And that's what Paul is saying to these Galatians. He's like, here's where you were at. Here's where you were at before the freedom of Jesus. You were a slave. You were a slave. You were living under the promises of the Father, under the promises to Abraham, but you hadn't had the inheritance yet. You hadn't had the ability to actually accept the freedom of Jesus Christ yet. So he's giving them this example of a rich child to where they are in the bondage and freedom of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as son. I want to linger on this for a second here and talk about a few things in that passage right there. So Paul is preaching to him, and he's like, do you remember that before you accepted Jesus, you were a slave to this world? Do you remember that you had to follow this law and that law and this law and that law and not cut your hair too short and not wear those clothes and not do this and not do that? And every day was just about checking the boxes and you were a slave and there was no spirit inside of you. But then when Jesus died on the cross, when God sent his son into the world and he died for you, you were able to enter that freedom. And it says that God adopted us as sons. God adopted us as sons. He's trying, listen, I know I get very dramatic and I'm sorry, this is how I am, okay? But Paul is trying and I'm trying this morning to help us understand that, you know, we haven't had this experience because Jesus died so long ago that as a baby now you can get dedicated to Jesus, right? Like your parents can raise you in the freedom of who Jesus is. But see, the Galatians experienced a time, you know, they experienced a time very recently before they could have this freedom. before they could have this freedom. And so Paul is trying to drive home this point to them that, look, there was a promise set forth, but you didn't have access to it, of freedom and justice and grace and mercy. But before that promise came through Jesus Christ, you were slaves to this world. How many of you guys have found yourself in your life as a slave to this world, right? How many of us have tried so hard to live up to the standards of this world, to try the newest, coolest thing, the best thing? We've tried to make our life around materials. We tried to do everything perfect so we would have the perfect image. And even in the church, we do this so often, right? Many of us live two lives. Outside of the church, we're kind of doing our own thing, but if we're here, when we're here, we act like everything's great, and we check all the boxes, and we read the Bible, and we feel like, well, if I just do A, B, and C, then everyone will think I'm a believer, and if I can do A, B, and C, then me and God will have a good relationship. But what Paul's trying to say to them is, look, you've been living under that bondage of slavery and this ideology of legalism that has not been a relationship with Jesus. And he's like, do you remember that you were a slave? I have family members and friends and even myself that I've watched walk through this, right? Walk through this where I had a relationship with Jesus, but then for some reason, I started to fade away from that faith in Jesus Christ, but I would still tell people I was a believer because I attended church. I would still tell people I had a relationship with Jesus because I pulled my Bible out every once in a while because I had to teach a message. God's like, thanks. But the freedom, he's trying to remind them of this freedom that came when Jesus died for you, the promise to Abraham. The promise that when Jesus Christ died and you accept him into your life, that all those rules and regulations, yes, they're there to help you and to guide you so that you can live and understand some guidelines. But Jesus, he came to give you freedom in him. It says, and I want to dive into this right here, it says that God adopted us as sons. I want to talk about this idea of adoption as Pastor Dennis very briefly last week at the end of service talked about. My parents have been foster parents my whole life, right? And I started to think of why they would use this word of adoption into the family of Christ. And I started to realize it's because of this. Think about the little child in this situation. We're those little children, okay? I'm just going to draw that for you here real quick. Think about this little child who was born into a home, right? Where they had zero control of the home they were born into, but yet you have these families, you know, who are going through maybe drug addiction or split homes where the mom financially can't take care of the kids, or the dad can't take care of the kids. So they enter into this foster system where they're just waiting for someone to love them and adopt them. But think of the confusion of the child not understanding, right? Not understanding that they're born into this world, born into that situation. Now think of the foster family. Think of the adoptive parents. They're having conversations at their home of like, man, look at that child. He's so helpless. He's so helpless. He has no idea. He has no way in life. And the parents are talking and they're like, we want to help him. We want to love him. What did that child do to earn the love of the adoptive parents? Nothing. But the parents, when they adopt a child, it's simply because they want to love and give that child a way of life that is going to allow them to walk in freedom and grace and mercy. So when they use the example here, when Paul says that God's adopted us as his sons, he's trying to show us that we do not deserve God's love. We did nothing to deserve God's love and grace, but God gives it freely. And when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, when you decide to walk passionately with Jesus Christ, it's like he adopted you and he gives you this love and mercy and grace that you will never understand and you can never earn. So he's trying to break the Galatians of this idea of legalism, of this idea that you could possibly do something to earn the love of Jesus Christ. Now, for most of us, even when I first started kind of battling through this passage, I was encouraged, right? Part of me was like, awesome. Like, I don't have to do anything necessarily to earn the love of Jesus. He already loves me. But then here's where I think the issue plays in. Here's where I think the issue plays in is that we as humans are so prideful. How many of you guys have ever had someone try to give you something for free, help you with something, and when they do that thing for free, your first thing is, well, I need to get them something back. I need to do something back. Well, I need to do something else. And that's awesome because it's out of a place of love, but we are very prideful humans. You know, I hear people preach all the time on the fact that it's actually easier for us most times to give than it is to receive. Right? Because we don't want to think that we're in a place that we possibly could sit back and just accept a gift. So what I'm finding is to enter into a real relationship with Jesus where you're passionately in love with him, you have to actually accept that he loved you where you are, who you are, what you came from. Jesus loves you for free. Amen. And you have to be able to accept this in your mind or else you can never fully enter into a relationship of freedom in Christ. I'm sweating. Someone said this morning, you were saying, she's like, we're gonna do a little Pentecostal style. And I broke out my sweat. That's what I brought to the table. Yeah, absolutely. Can you guys hear the tone of Paul's voice where he is so concerned for these Galatians? Man, he even goes on, what we'll read here in a little bit, but he uses the idea of child labor. Like that is the anguish that he's in for these people walking away from Jesus. Because he realizes that when you get trapped in the mindset and the ideology of legalism where you think that you could possibly obtain the love of Jesus, he understands that you will never enter a full relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think most of us in here today would agree, right? When I preach and I get excited about freedom and free love of Jesus and all we have to do is walk with him and accept his love, a lot of us in here get excited about that. But then I bet if you opened up your heart this morning and thought what your walk with Jesus looked like, I bet you would realize that you've shifted into a little bit of legalism in your life. Maybe the preference of the worship isn't really what you like, so you know, it kind of hinders that morning service in your walk with Christ. You know, maybe someone does you wrong in the church, so you kind of just walk away a little bit because it hurts, but you don't realize that God, when you're in a relationship with Jesus, it doesn't matter about personal preference because you're just so in love with who the Father is that you just want to be in his presence no matter what's going on around you. I'm preaching this morning. This next section I want to read here, verse 6, my media crew is going to hate me today. I told them I'm going to be all over the place. Verse 6 here, he says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When you accept Jesus into your life, he promised us the Holy Spirit to walk with us. He promised us the Holy Spirit. So if you never enter into this relationship where you experience God's love, you will never be able to fully walk in the Spirit and what God has promised to us. And because we enter into this relationship with him, it says that he blesses us with the Spirit, crying out, Abba, Father. And I love that he uses the words there, that it cries out, Abba, Father, because when you walk with Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, there is something in you every day that just wants to be with the Father. That just wants to be with the Father. This next passage in my Bible is titled Fears for the Church. Fears for the Church. We're the church, so listen. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by which, by nature, are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? So Paul is asking the Galatians, he's like, you literally walked in a relationship with God where you were on fire and you were passionate for Jesus. You knew who he was. He knew who you were. You walked in intimacy with him. You knew that real relationship that God has given you. How many of you guys have accepted Christ into your life and you've walked with Jesus and you felt his Spirit and you were drawn to him and you wanted to be more like him, and reading your Bible, going to church and praying weren't because you had to, but because you desired to. That's what Paul is saying. He's like, do you remember when that was you? He's saying, how could you possibly want to go back to this relationship with Jesus where it's all about rules and regulations and bondage and slavery? Why would you want to go back to that? And many of us in here, like I said today, are like, I know, why would they want to do that? But yet I believe on the inside, sometimes we put ourselves in that position all the time with Jesus. I believe there are many of us in this room this morning, myself included, where I find that over time, the longer that I've been in this walk with Christ, the further I've walked away sometimes. The longer you do this, the more ritualistic it becomes, right? The more that you do this, the more ritualistic it becomes because the people at church know you now, so you have to show up, right? Or if you're not in your word a couple times a day, it'll break your routine. But man, do you remember that first relationship, that first time you came to know Jesus when it wasn't about this, regulations and going to church and just reading your word, but it was just, God, I want to be with you. God, I want to be in your presence. I think we've popularized and normalized this idea that how many conversations have you had with believers where you're like, do you remember that first time you were saved, how exciting it was? You know, I was in youth ministry. I remember kids getting saved at church camps, right? And they would come to me and they're like, no, I got saved tonight, and they're pacing. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. They're like, hey, I'm going to go change my school. And I'm like, man, that's amazing. But then a couple months later, they're not even a youth group anymore. And it's like, what happened? How do we go from on fire, passionate about Jesus, to now trending to this spiral of like, where they would tell me, man, look, I'm trying to get back to youth. And I'm like, I don't care if you come back to youth. I just want you to get back to when you were passionate about who Jesus was and wanted to be with him. Paul is pleading with these Galatians, and man, I am not going to get to a lot of my stuff. Paul is just pleading with these Galatians, and this is the main point here. So if I just get to this morning, that's all that matters. We need to assess our lives, our walk with Jesus, and ask ourselves, and this is tough. I mean, this is tough. But we need to ask ourselves, are we still walking in a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ where all we desire is to be with him? Or have we been in that relationship so long that now it's just more about doing the things of Jesus? Listen to that. Is it more about being with Jesus or doing the things of Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you right now, for the last, whatever, you guys might have heard my message, you know, months ago, whatever it was, I went for a long time doing the things of Jesus with no relationship with Jesus. And I would guarantee you that God would rather you toss all the servitude out the window for you just to be with him. I am going to have to close here, or else people really will be standing out in the hallway. But as I get ready to close, and if you guys want to stick around for second service, there may be a whole nother half to this message. I'm just saying, it's up to you guys. If you want to stick around, amen, you know what I'm saying? There's a whole nother part to this passage that Paul, man, Paul is going in on these Galatians, and I love Paul's heart here because it's the heart that I feel for the church a lot. It's the heart that I believe that Jesus feels towards me. That man, don't you just want to be in that real relationship with Jesus? I mean, don't you just want to spend time with him and love him so much that everything else, all the rules and regulations and laws, they will follow because you're doing it out of a love for who Jesus is. You guys are actually lucky because I didn't even get to the truth part of the message. That's what hurts. So as we close, I guess my biggest challenge for you and myself is to really ask yourself, man. Like, one time I scared the kids in youth because I was teaching a message like this and I said something I probably shouldn't have said, but you know, it's youth ministry, so you can get away with whatever. And I was all into it. And I was like, if you're just coming here, you know, if you're just reading your word and you're just going through the motions and you don't actually want a relationship with Jesus, then go to King's Island. And I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. But I hope they understood my heart, and I hope you understand my heart and Paul's heart this morning. That man, it's not about checking the boxes. It's not about following all the rules perfectly, but it's about being with Jesus. It's about being adopted. Imagine if a foster parent or an adoptive parent adopted the child, but that child couldn't accept the love of the parent, so he spent his whole life just trying to do things to make them happy. He would miss that whole relationship and the fact that those parents adopted him just because they loved him, not because they needed something from him. I want to give you a little news flash here, but God doesn't need anything from you. But God does want to be with you. Man, God really wants to be with you this morning. And as you grow closer to Jesus and your relationship grows and you spend time in his word, man, I promise all of the laws that were set, you know, He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it, right? And as you grow closer to Jesus, all those rules and laws and scripture, man, you will follow them and you will want to follow them and seek after them because you want to please your Father who you love. Are we getting this this morning? It took me reading this about 50 times to really grasp like Paul's passion in this message, to grasp what he was pleading with the Galatians at this time. We are gonna go into song here. And as we sing and worship, I want us, you know, myself included, like I want us to just be with God. We sang a song last week or a couple weeks ago, and the lyrics ring in my head all the time. It was God, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forget that you're enough. And this morning, as we continue to worship here, I want our hearts and minds to be inclined in that thought process of God, I just wanna be with you. God, I just want a heart like your heart. God, I just wanna love like you love.